I'm going to tell you a story about David himself. And we'll see a difference between the king that David was and the king that the son of David was. So some of you might recognize this picture because I took it last week. Just bragging. A few of us have been in Israel this last week, and it's still very fresh in our minds. Have a look at this picture, though, because over here on the left side of the picture, on this slope, is where the original city of David was. And if we go in a little bit closer, you'll see that he had a palace up at the top of the hill, which they're currently excavating, and it's really quite exciting. Having a palace at the top of the hill, King David was in a position of power and authority and literally supervising all that he reigned over. Unfortunately, in one direction, he could see the roofs of all the houses. And if you know 2 Samuel, you realize that was a problem a couple of chapters later on. We'll not go into that. But in the other direction, he would look across at the Mount of Olives, and he had a wonderful view across the Kidron River. Well, when we come to 2 Samuel and chapter 9, everything's at peace. All his enemies are just cooperating with him. He's having a great time, and he's wondering now, hang on a minute. The king before me was King Saul, and he had made a promise to the son of Saul that he would protect his family. Now, let's go back in time a little bit, because this is a way back in something like 1000 BC, and King David is all powerful, everything's at peace, and he remembers the promise that he made to his friend Jonathan, the son of King Saul. And he said, I will protect your family. And so he gathers all his wise men around him, and he says, is there anybody left of the family of King Saul so that I can show kindness to him? Now, that was very unusual, because at the time, when somebody became king, they used to basically throw in prison anybody that might be a threat to his throne. And David didn't act like that. He wanted to know if there was anyone left. Well, they said, yes, there is. There is one boy. He'll be a young man by now. And his name is, you're going to love this, Mephibosheth. Do you want to try and say it? Mephibosheth. All together? Bless you. It's quite difficult to say, but they said, unfortunately, this lad, when King Saul died, his nurse thought, I need to get him out of here, because he would be the next in line to the throne after Jonathan, and Jonathan and Saul had both died. And so she ran with the child, and unfortunately, she dropped him. And when she dropped him, he was 5 years old, and he was seriously injured, and he was lame in both his feet after that. They said, well, he'll be a young man now, but I don't see that he'll be much use to you, because, you know, he's going to be on crutches or something. No, no, said David, find out where he is, and we'll go and bring him to the palace, and he can live here. Well, he lived in a place called Lodabar. Now, not bragging, but we were there last week. And it's not far from a place called Beth Shan. And Beth Shan is an old Roman city where you can still walk through the streets and see the magnificent pillars and everything. Just on the other side of the River Jordan from Beth Shan, in the desert area on that side of the Jordan, was Lodabar. It's not a great name for a place. Lodabar means no grass. Terrible place to live, just a desert. And they said, that's where he lives now. He'll be up there in hiding. Probably thinks nobody will ever find him. Well, they found an old servant of Saul called Ziba. And Ziba said, I know where he lives. And so King David said, off you go and bring him to the palace. Now, this would have been a little bit scary, because remember, ever since childhood, he thought, maybe one day the king will come and get me, and he'll throw me in prison so that I can't take over the throne. When the chariots arrived at his house, it would have been quite intimidating. This is a little bit like the police turning up at your door. I know that's never happened to any of you, but I won't go into that. Right. So if the chariot arrived and they said, King David wants to see Mephibosheth, his first thought's going to be, I'm going to jail. I know, they've found me. But no, that wasn't the message. The message was, the king wants to see you personally. Well, when the king met him, of course he was a young man by now, he realized that this was the son of his good friend Jonathan, and he said to him, I'm going to give you some things. And he thought, a bigger cell? Maybe better food in the prison? No, he said, I'm going to give you your grandfather's land. I'm going to give you your grandfather's servants. I'm going to give you a daily allowance from the treasury. And I'm going to give you a seat at my table. Now, that's the ultimate honor, to be invited to sit at the king's table. Mephibosheth couldn't believe it. Really? I've gone all the way from Lodabar, no grass, to living in Jerusalem itself, in the king's palace. And not only that, being welcomed into the king's family and sitting at the king's table. It's quite a contrast. Out of Lodabar to the king's table. It's such a lovely story that some people use it as a picture of what our king, King Jesus, did for us. But like all pictures of Jesus, it falls way short of what it would have been like had it been Jesus. For the story to truly be like Jesus, first of all, Jesus would say, I already know your name. Jesus wouldn't have to be introduced to you. He knows your name. He knows all about you this morning. He's loved you since you were born. And he doesn't need to be told who you are. If it was Jesus, he would say, I'm not going to send a servant to come and rescue you. I'm going to come and rescue you myself. Remember when Nikki was telling us about the palm leaves and the people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna? They were actually shouting Jesus' name. His name is, in Hebrew, Hoshea. And they were shouting, Hosanna. And Hoshea means Savior. And Hosanna means save us now. It's the same word. And they were calling out his name, Hosanna, Hosanna, come and save us. And Jesus came to rescue us himself. If it was Jesus, Jesus would have said, no, my feet will be pierced so that you can be perfect. So much more than just an act of generosity. It's an act of personal sacrifice that the Lord Jesus makes for us. Jesus would say, I'll take your blame so that you can be forgiven. This is what confused people at the time. They thought that Jesus was going to come and overthrow the Romans and be this big, mighty warrior. No, says Jesus, I've come to seek and to save the lost, to save sinners. And Jesus would say to us, and if you believe in me, it's not just a seat at the sick king's table. I'll share my royalty with you forever. That's the promise of the message of Easter. One of the people that sat at that table and grew up with Mephibosheth at the table was King David's son Solomon. And many years later, he used the picture of Mephibosheth from his memory to describe what God had done for him. And he says, he brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. He's the king of love, not the king of war. He's the one that wants to win your heart, not to defeat you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love for us, that you came in such humble circumstances into the world, that you rode into Jerusalem on a donkey to identify yourself as the one who would come to take on yourself the sins of the world. Lord, we pray for everyone here this morning, that they will realize that you know their name. You know them intimately already. And despite your deep knowledge of all our weaknesses and failings, Lord, you want to pay for it all and give us everlasting life. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.